First of all, one quick hakdama. The Rosh at the beginning of Maseches Megillah brings from Rabbeinu Tam. The Gemara has a lashon there that Yud Gimel Zman Kehila L'Choli. It's a reason why the 13th of Adar is considered a day that's for sure kosher for Kriyas Megillah, because it's Zman Kehila L'Choli. What does that mean? Says Rabbeinu Tam, it's a reference to Tainus Esther. I mean, this is the Makor for Tainus Esther that we have as Manazeh tomorrow. What is it all about? Because the Ikar Nes was through our tefillas, and that's A. B, that Rabbeinu Tam wants is mechich from Yerushalmi that when Klal Yisrael originally fought Amalek in the Parshas B'Shalach, they fasted. Moshe and he had Aaron and Hur on either side. That's why by the time of Sibur, you need a time of Sibur, has to have three shots with one person on either side. So they fasted then. So Mestama, they fasted on the day that they fought the enemy, as we'll see in this parak, that would be the 13th. Only Shushan was given an additional day. So they all fasted on that day. So that's the Makor for time of Esther that we have today. The 13th day of Adar finally arrived. This is the day when the king's order was supposed to take effect. The Oivim of the Jews originally plotted on that day to dominate the Jews. But Hashem made a hapacha, like we explained in Paragimel. Hashem reordered the entire mazolos in order that the 13th of Adar, rather than be the best day for Amalek, it's stuck of the worst day for Amalek. And oh boy, we'll see just how there was a hapacha. Asher yishla to Ayehudim heima b'sein ehem. Now the Jews dominated their enemies. Note the difference in the Lashinus. We have oivim and we have seinim. What's the difference? We'll see this difference throughout the parak. Oivim are those who want to harm the Jews by themselves. These would be, you know, the rabble-rousers, the anti-Semitic preachers who get up and make speeches and incite the masses. Seinim are those who, by themselves, they sit in the stands, in the background. They have a geschmack, though, when they see the oivim inflict harm on the Jews. They themselves, though, are content to sit back. By and large, Amalekim fit into the second category. So Klal Yisrael, Kamashmo and Spasa, Klal Yisrael were able to overwhelm both the Oivim and the Soinim. But then there's Akasha. Oivim, they know who they are. But how do they know who the Soinim are? These are the guys who will sit back, you know, we don't know what's in their hearts. How do we know who those Soinim are? They're those who aren't overt about their anti-Semitism. So Rav Brevda says over B'Shem the Stipler, that Bemis, we have Haman to thank for telling us who these Sinim are. Throughout the time before the second Gzera, meaning while the Goyim were still thinking, the Sarim and those commoners who they let in on the secret, while they still thought that it was the Goyim who Rahman al Son were going to kill the Jews, so these Sinim now come out of the woodwork and they're not only taking part in all the anti-Semitic rallies, they're saying, yeah, Ryan is shouting, and they're also spreading the evil amongst themselves. And as we explained earlier, they're taking down notes about all the whereabouts, what the Jews are doing, so that they could find out with every single Jew, they could find and kill him when the time comes. The Jews, meanwhile, are taking notes. Ah, so this guy is one of them, eh? This guy's really a neo-Nazi in disguise, eh? He's my next-door neighbor. He was always saying, hello, Fred, how you doing? And really, he's a closet anti-Semite who's no longer a closet anti-Semite. So now, when Baruch Hashem, there's a revocation of the Gzeira, and Klal Yisrael are now going to kill out their enemies, they know exactly who it is, and who they have to find, and who they have to get rid of. Oh. Nikalu Ayhudim Barehem B'chol Medinois HaMelech HaChashverosh L'shloich Yadbim Mavakshi Rosam. They gathered each Jew and each group of Jews in their cities throughout the whole kingdom to inflict damage and harm those who originally wanted to harm them. the ish loyomad bifneim kinafo pachdam akolo amim. Do you understand to what extent Hashem made a hapacha on the mazolos, and now it became a day when Amalek, not only are they invincible, forget about they're not invincible, they're powerless as powerless can be. Picture, for example, Bezman Azeh, a group of Jews have the foolhardy notion of going into a bad neighborhood and starting up with a couple of anti-Semites. It's stupid, of course, we don't do such a thing. But if they were to do such a thing, those anti-Semites are not going to, you know, lay back and relax. They're going to stand up and there's going to be a whole rumble and, you know, street fight. But look what the Pasuk describes here. The Ish Loi Omad Bifnehem. Amalek's mazel was so neutralized and gotten rid of that they pasha didn't stand up to defend themselves. They were so in awe of the nation. Rav Brezda gives the following humorous dogma of what took place. You have a group of Jews going from house to house in each Sinai, and remember they took notes of who the Sinai were, and one of them was a bucky in Hilchus Shechita. They knock on the door. This anti-Semite gets the door. He sees a bunch of Jews at the door. Yes, gentlemen, can I help you? Yes, sir, there's actually something you could do for us. I want you to lift your neck a little more, please, and just study that stain on the ceiling. Thank you, okay? That's how powerless, and mom's like a bunch of lambs. That's how Amalek looked like. That was the Hamaynam. Governors and the mayors, the royal officials, royal workers, all of them, Menasim and Yehudim, are looking up to the Jews. They're assisting all the Jews and helping them. Yes, can we get you some guns and knives, whatever you'd like? Please come to the offices. You don't have to fill out a form. Everything will get you immediately. Why? Because now that Mordechai is second in command, and he got the Beis Haman, everyone knew about this. He is now in charge of the Beis Haman. We know Haman, how wealthy he was. Mordechai has taken over all that wealth. That's one reason they're intimidated in. Plus, since he's the Mishnah Melech, if they step out of line, they don't cooperate with the royal edict, Mordechai's going to find out about it, and he's going to demote them. They're going to lose their whole position. So because of that, they're quite cooperative. What Hoylich v'Godol indicates, the idea of a legend. How does a legend originate? People start to spread a rumor here, and then, you know, they start to expound upon the rumor. Oh yeah, it must be because of this. And all of a sudden, it starts spreading and spreading until it reaches legendary proportions. Let's look at what's going on here. Akid Kaf Mamish, the Goyim are wearing Mordechai t-shirts. Hoylech v'godol. Vayaku ayudim choyveyem makas chered v'hered v'avdon v'yasu v'sinem kirit sainam. In the time of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, just to explain this and other psukim we'll see, in the time of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, we know that throughout the tkuf of the Roman Empire, Jews had it very bad. The Romans were cruelly anti-Semitic. They made gzeiros pashmad. But during Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's time, he became friendly with the Roman Emperor Antoninus. Because of that, so Rabbeinu HaKadosh, he realized that there was a fortuitous time. He took advantage of it, and he dafka used that time to compile the Mishnayos, because he saw that the Romans were getting more cruel, and there would mamish a danger that they would forget Torah Shabbal Peh. There would be a serious block in the transmission of the Messiah. So Rebbe took advantage of that time. So too, Klal Yisrael are taking advantage of this time. They see this is a gewaltige moment. The Jews they could do whatever they want with their enemies. So they don't want to just do something that will affect that generation. They want to give themselves some leeway over the course of several generations, that the Jews should have a comfort zone. They wanted, therefore, to send messages, repercussions throughout the kingdom. Goy, look at what's going to happen if you start up with a Jew. So, that's why. What do they do to their enemies? Makas Hereg, the Hereg Babel. How many times can you kill a person already? The answer is Hereg. That means they killed him. Hereg means they sliced them, you know, they gave them wounds and they tortured them, Pashit. And then, Va'avdon, they destroyed the bodies. why did the Jews destroy the good? I understand that's what Haman wanted. He didn't want any Zecher Jews. Why did we do that to them? Because imagine, if they just killed the enemies and then they would be buried and they made a cemetery, centuries later, Goyim would discover the cemetery, they would discover a little inscription about, yeah, this was a person who was killed during that Jewish pogrom in Persia, during the Persian Empire. And history has borne out that, that Goyim don't need too much of an excuse. They can use an event centuries earlier to use that to incite the mobs into a new riot. So that's why they had to destroy the bodies. They don't want to be any zecher of these anti-Semites. U'b'shushin abir ha'or go'ayhud v'abei chamesh me'ois ish v'espashan dos v'estalfin v'espos v'espodos v'esadalia v'esaridos v'espamashti v'esarisa v'esarida v'esvaizosa aseris b'nei hamon ben amadosa soirer ha'yehudim ha'rogu u'b'abizu v'sholchaz yadam. On that day, the 13th of Adar, the Jews of Shushan killed 500 men, including the 10 sons of Haman. And the Pasuk makes makes a point of mentioning here and in other places, they didn't touch the money. Because that's another famous gracious stereotype of the Jew. He's greedy, you know, those Jews with the big noses. So the Jews wanted to show, even though the Gezerah Taka entitled them to Shlolam Lavoiz, they were entitled to take the spoils. They didn't want to do that. They wanted to show we're being Makai in this only to defend ourselves against our enemies. We have no greed in this whatsoever. So the king starts getting the reports. The 13th day of Adar, the Jews throughout the kingdom are killing out their enemies. Obviously, which reports does he see first? This is before the internet. He sees the reports of Shushan. Bayomer Malka Esther Malka calls her over and he starts yelling at her. They killed 500 people. I figured, you know, I know I authorized you allowed to stand up against him in the face. I thought a couple of dozen. 500 people. There's a sense b'nei Haman. B'shar Medina is a melech Moshe. I can't imagine what they did in the other nation. He's yet to be told. 75,000 people throughout his malchus were slaughtered. Then all of a sudden, abruptly, yes, and my dear, what can I still do for you? Ask anything, I'll do it for you. Those malachim, they always come to the rescue. A malach sees, Achashverosh berating Esther, comes and gives him a smack, and all of a sudden he changes his tune. Esther, by the way, is also noticing what's going on. She's seeing Achashverosh yelling at her, and she's saying, Oyvei, now what? And then she sees Achashverosh's face turn abruptly to the side. And Achashverosh, you know, now speaks nicely to her. Yes, my dear. Esther figures out what's going on. So she takes advantage of that situation. By time Esther and Malamelech Toiv. Here we don't have to use for the shyness of appeasement. She sees now the things are going on her side. If it pleases the king, Yinoshen Gamochor Laihudam Asher B'shushan Asus Kedosh Hayom. I want the next day, which is the 14th of Adar, also given to the Jews of Shushan. Whatever they did today, they should do again tomorrow. Why? So we've already explained that there were two Averis involved with the Gzeira. All the Jews of the world bowed down to Tselem in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and the Jews of Shushan, in addition, were Nene from Sudosa Shalachashverosh. That's the reason why he had two separate days. Kineged, the fact that all the Jews were Mishtachav El Tselem, so that's why all the Jews throughout the kingdom, they defeated their enemies on the 13th of Adar. And the Jews of Shushan, who had the additional of Avera, of being Nene from Sudas Shalachashverosh, that's why Esther wanted to give them an extra day. And it's Dafke Esther, because as we explained, Mordechai represented the Tikkun of the Tselem, Esther represents the Tikkun of Hanah from Sudas HaShakashverosh, so she's the one who has to ask for Rishus for the Jews to be able to get an extra day. Furthermore, she asks via Saseres B'nei Haman Yislu Ala Eitz. That goes in line with what we said before. They wanted to send a message loud and clear, Goyim, don't you even think about starting up with a Jew. So, sure enough, they'll see that the 10 sons of Haman, not only are they killed, but they're being hung. And furthermore, the Sarim are also going to take a message from this. Why? because the Tsar might have a complaint, you know, the original Gzeira was the gun kill out the Jews, and now Mordechai is finagling this, the whole Gzeira for his benefit, and the king really doesn't know about what Mordechai's up to here. So that's why Esther had to ask Ahasuerus permission that they should have another day in Shushan, and that the 10 sons of Haman should be hung, because that was not part of the original Gzeira. And that way the Tsarim will know that this was had the full backing of the king. So the king, Taka, gives his full backing, and they have an extra day in Shushan, and they're going to hang the 10 sons of Haman on the 14th of Adar. So, on the 14th, they killed out another 300 people, in addition to the 500 people they killed out on the 13th, and they did not touch any of the spoils as before, to teach you that it was only to protect themselves, and they weren't interested in any greed. Ushar ha'yehudim asher b'medino is ha'melech nikalu v'omoyd al nafsham v'noich me'oyvehem orog b'soynehem chamisho v'shivim olaf uv'abizo l'sholchus yodam. So the rest of the Jews throughout the kingdom, they didn't have an extra day, so they only on the 13th killed out their enemies, resting on the 14th, and they killed out 75,000 of their enemies. And again, they did not touch any of the spoils. V'yom shloisho salukhoi d'shador, v'noich bar basar boi, v'osoi soyoi mishteh v'simcha. They made that day into a day of mishteh and simcha. V'ayhudim asher b'shushan, nikalu b'shloisho sar boi, u'bar basar boi. They got, they were able to get together on the 13th and the 14th, as Esther had requested. V'noich b'chamisho sar boi, they rested on the 15th day. So they made the 15th as their day of Mishteh V'Simcha. Hence the term Shushan Purim for the 15th. Al kein ha-Yehudim ha-Prozim ha-Yoshvim bori ha-Prozois oisim eisyoim ar-Bosor l'choydesh ador Simcha u-Mishteh V'Yom Tov u-Mishloich Monos ish l'Re'ehu. So the Prozim, the unwalled cities, makes Purim on the 14th day of Adar, and they made originally a threefold Yom Tov, three-faceted. Simcha means it's Aser in Hespet, Mishteh means it's Aser in Tainus, Yom Tov means it's Aser in Asiyas Malacha. Similar to that actual year where they made a Yom Tov, as we saw in Perek Ches, so too, they want to establish the Chag of Purim L'Doyreis as a Yom Tov Gomor. As we'll see, though, Mordechai told them somewhat different. Also, they wanted to make the mitzvah of Mishloach Monos to indicate that there was a sense of Achdus now amongst Klal Yisrael, whereas Haman had said there Mefoizer Mefoirod Bein Ha'amim, there was Pirud, no Achdus. So now, Keneged that, Keneged the 70 days of Tshuva, they rectified that, and now there was a sense of Achdus. So the mitzvah Mishloach Monos, it was made to indicate the sense of Achdus that they now had. So Mordechai wrote down these words. That is, he wrote down a detailed account of all the nisim that occurred these past few months. The Jews knew about the revocation of the Gzeira, but the details they didn't know. So v'yishlach svarim al kol Yehudim asher b'chol medino is ha-melech ha-chashverosh ha-krovim ha-ruchaykim. So Mordechai sent letters, he sent word to all the Jews to let them know all the details about the nisim that occurred. L'kayim aleihem li'oisoisim es yoyim ar-bosor l'choydesh ador v'yisiyom chamish osor boi b'chol shona v'shona. Why was Mordechai writing these letters to all the Jews throughout the kingdom to formally authorize that there should be a Yom Tov of Purim on the 14th and 15th days of Adar, the 14th for the rest of the world, and the 15th for Shushan, for every year. because those were the days when they rested from their enemies. The rest of the world rested on the 14th and Shushan on the 15th. V'chodesh asher nepach lohem. And it was also that month, because you might think, l'chaira, that they should make the yontif in Nisan. All the Nisan bemis took place in Nisan. Haman was hung in Nisan, and Achashverosh authorized the change of the gzeira in Nisan. Mordechai became the Mishnah Lamelech in Nisan. But what was the significance of Chodesh Adar? They made the yontif in Adar because of asher nepach lohem. Like we explained, this was when Hashem made a hapocha of the mazolos. So that was the greatest ness of all. That's why they made the ness in Adar. There was asher nepach lohem miyoga and l'simcha me'avel yomtiv, from tragedy to happiness and from mourning to a yomtiv. Lasos oisom yemei mishte v'simcha u'mishloach monos ish l'riyehu u'matonos lev yoinim. So Mordechai, in his letters to Klal Yisrael, he agreed that there should be a zecher, a memorial of this nes, called Shana v'Shana. There should be a Chag HaPurim, but he made two changes to what the Jews thought to do. One, whereas Avadit should be Mishta v'Simcha, it should be a day Osir in Tainus and Osir in Hesped, but it should not be a Yom Tif. Why? Because it's not Dereisa. Mordechai wanted to make a chilek between the Yomim Tovim Dereisa, such as the Shalosh Regalim, and Purim. And there are various ramifications in Halacha. Just to mention one of many, Al Hanisim, a person forgot Al Nisim in Shemoneh Esrei, he doesn't go back. Yalav Yovo, on Chol HaMoed, Yom Tov Chol HaMoed, he does go back. So that's where we see that a Yom Tov Dereisa carries more weight than a Derabbanan. So Mordechai said, we're not going to make this a day Osir Nasis Malacha in order to emphasize that it's a Yom Tov Derabbanan. However, to compensate for that, we're going to institute a new mitzvah, more than what the rest of the Jews agreed to. The rest of the Jews agreed to Mishlech Manas. We're going to add a mitzvah of Matanas Lev Yainim to compensate for the fact that Purim is only a Derabbanan. The Kibel HaYehudim Eis Asher Hechelu La'asais V'es Asher Kosav Mordechai Lehem. So the Jews agreed to formally accept upon themselves the Yom Tov of Purim. That's Asher Hechelu La'asais. And in addition, what Mordechai wrote to them, which incorporate the changes, it should not be a Yom Tov, and it should be Matanas Lev Yainim. And the pasuk uses the lashon v'kibel, lashon yachid, to indicate that Klal Yisrael accepted upon themselves in unison. They all recognize, Mordechai, you're right. It says in Shoshanas Yaakov, v'roisim yachad cheles Mordechai. What does that mean? So I heard once, it means that even though originally Mordechai, we didn't listen to you, we went to the Suda Achashverosh, but now, and it seemed at first that because you were the one who instigated Haman by not bowing down to him, and the Gzeirah was your fault, that's what we might have thought at first, but now we realize you were right all along, that the Gzeirah had nothing to do with Haman, it had to do with our being Nenner from Sudasa Shalach Shverosh, and the Tselem of Nebuchadnezzar, and therefore we now are Mevatel Das to you, Mordechai, whatever you told us to do, we're doing. And they all did that in unison. Ki Haman ben Hamadoso Hagogi Tsarako Yehudim Choshev Yehudim La'abdom V'Pilpur Hu Hagoyru Lahumam La'abdom. Haman had wanted to, he had planned to destroy them through his pur by determining what was the best day for Amalek. Uvavoy Lefnei HaMelech is a puzzling pasuk. Lefi Rashi, Uvavoy is going on Esther. Esther came before the king. Omar, the king, Ima Sefer, by authorizing it with a written edict, Yashuv Machshav Torah Asher Choshev Yehudim Al Roshoi. He authorized that all of the evil that Haman wanted to do to the Jews should be done to him. The Solo Esoy V'Spon of Allah 8. Therefore, he and his sons were hung. Al Kain Kodu LaYomim Ha'ila Purim Hashem HaPur. Like we explained before, of all the Nisim of Purim, it was the Pur that we're naming the holiday for. And the reason is, of course, because that was the greatest Nes. Hashem reorganizing all the mazolos for the sake of Klal Yisrael. Al Kain Al Kol Divrei Ogeres Hazois, meaning Mordechai, in sending these letters about the Nisim to Klal Yisrael, it's an explanation of why we're making Yom Tov of Purim, everything written in this letter, Umaro Akocha Umohagi Aleihem. In addition, it's important to for everyone to know what kind of midah, keneged midah, went into all these nisim. For example, Haman, what was his motivation in making his gzeira and wanting to hang Mordechai? Because Mordechai lo yichav liyishtachave, umoh gialayem, and what happened to Haman as a result, he ended up being hung. Vashti was a mashash, she made Jewish girls work for her on Shabbos, on Shabbos she was ordered to come out, according to the Chazal, Voyam HaShvi refers to Shabbos, Gemara Megillah, and that's when her end came about. Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim aleihem yalzarom yakol nilvim aleihem v'lo yavor v'yos oisim v'shnei ayomim oilech kichsovim v'chizmanim cholshonim v'shona. All the Jews accept upon themselves, their descendants, and all the gerim, that's called ha-nilvim aleihem, to make Purim, v'lo yavor, it will be irrevocable. What's kichsovim? Rashi explains that when they would eventually write the Megillah down, it would be in Ksav Ashuris, and the Kizmanim according to their respective dates each and every year. I'd once heard from a secularist that he tied that the Ethiopians didn't need Chanukah and Purim because they had their communities established for centuries long before there was even a Yontav, a Nes of Chanukah Purim. But from this pasuk we see that's incorrect. Kol ha-nilvim aleihem, all gerim also have to keep the yontav of Purim. And the reason is pashut. If there would have not been a nes of Purim, chas v'shalom, there would be no Klal Yisrael, there would be no one to be miskayer to. And Pesach also, a ger has to keep Pesach, even though it wasn't his ancestors who came out of Mitzrayim. But since sof he's joining the Jewish nation, so he has to keep all of the yom tovim that affected the Jewish nation, Pesach, Chanukah, Purim, etc. Vayomim ha'elem nizkarim v'nasim b'chol dor v'dor. Till now we've discussed Mishte, Simcha, Mishloach Manos, Matan Favyanim, and it's now only in this pasuk that we're introducing the last piece of the puzzle, as it were, the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. Because here it mentions that the days have to be nizkarim. They have to be remembered. They have to be said over. The Nisim have to be spoken over. That eventually took on the form of Mikra Megillah. In addition to V'nasim, which are the other mitzvahs of Asiyas Purim, the Suda, Mishloach Manos, Matan Slav Yainim, Mishpacha, Mishpacha, Medino, Medino, the ear, the ear. Why Mishpacha, Mishpacha? You're supposed to celebrate it as a family. That makes it more simchadik and more... You're able to relate the Nisim more. These days of Purim, even B'mayis HaMashiach, when all the Yom Tovim will be bottled, Purim won't be bottled. And the Zichrom, which is again Mikra Megillah, that too Lo Yosef Mizaram. The Gra is Medaik, that from here we see Zichrom Lo Yosef Mizaram, that the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah is incumbent upon Ketanim, Akon Shegilachina Chavada. But even on Ketanim, because what aspect of Purim will a Kohen appreciate? Suda, not so much, and certainly not getting drunk, but listening to the Megillah, even though he comes, that's him, you know, with his grogger, and he wants to drown on Haman, but the parents have to remember to make sure that he listens to the Megillah also. V'atichtoiv Esther Amalko Bas Avichayel Mordechai HaYehudi Es Kol Toikef. So here... Esther and Mordechai write down the text of Megillus Esther. It's called Taikif. Gunwam Shat Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh. L'kayim Esigeres HaPurim Azois HaShenis. In Shul, one of the Minhagim, that the Baal Kair, when he gets to this Pasuk, he waves the Megillah itself to indicate that this Pasuk is a reference to the Etzem Megillah. It was the second letter, because the first letter was a description of the Nisim and that they should keep Purim. But the text of Megillah, that's this second Igeris. Vayishlach Sforim El Kol Ehudim El Sheva V'yasim U'meyo Medino Amachus HaKasher Shtivri Shalom V'emes. Together with the text of Megillah, there were additional letters, and we'll see what those letters said in the next pasuk. In this pasuk, Divrei Shalom V'emes indicates that the Megillah has to take on the din of emes, meaning Amitoi Shel Torah. That, for example, just like a Sefer Torah requires shir to it, ruled line, so too a Megillah has that halacha. L'kayim es yimei apur ma'ele b'zman ehem. the letters, the accompanying letters, were to formally declare that Klai Yisrael has to keep these days of Purim at their respective times, Kasher Kiyam Alei Mordechai Yehudi Ve'Esther Malka. Because Esther and Mordechai had Ruach HaKodesh, they understood that there was a Kodesh Baruch who did in fact authorize that there should be a Yom Tov Purim. They understood that, and they were conveying that now to the rest of the Jews. Meaning with the same fervor and rotzoin that they had taken upon themselves at Tzoymos when they still thought they were in danger, and they meant that in earnest. They were fasting and doing tshuva and screaming out in tefillah in earnest. With the same rotzoin, they also took upon themselves the Yom Tov HaPurim. Agav, we said before, Kimu v'Kiblu, it's important to bring out another important aspect of Purim. Kimu v'Kiblu means that Purim represented a Kabbalas HaTorah anew. Meaning, the Gemara in Shabbos says, Kof Aleim HaKegigis, that even though Klai Yisrael said Nasav and Ishma, that was only in reference to Torah Shebiksav. But Torah Shebal Peh, they didn't accept as readily, as eagerly. But now Purim, when they saw the Ahava that Hashem had for them, the Nisan that He did for them, so they accepted upon themselves even Torah Shebal Peh ba'ahava, Kabbalas HaTorah me'ahava. That's one of the important themes of Purim. Umamar Esther Kiyam Divrei HaPurim Ha'ele V'Nichtov HaSefer. Pshat in this pasuk is, we have a Gemara in Megillah and Daf Zayin explains that it was in fact Esther who had attempted to persuade the Chachamim, the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, to institute the Yom Tov HaPurim and to incorporate Mikra Megillah as part of Tanakh. And they had various tainis. At first they were reluctant to do so, but eventually Esther succeeded in convincing them. That's what this pasuk means, that the Chachamim acceded to Esther's request, and they made Purim, and the Nichtov HaSefer, and the Megillas Esther all became official parts of Yiddishkeit, and Megillas Esther became a part of Tanakh. What in the world is this pasuk coming to do? Achashverosh makes a tax. Why is the pasuk telling us this? The answer is, in the very first pasuk of the Megillah, Vahibim Achashverosh, Hu Achashverosh Chazal Darshan, Hu Achashverosh Berishosoi, Berishoi, Mitchilosov Yatsoifoi. Achashverosh had seen firsthand a lot of the Nisim, the whole storyline unfolded in front of his own eyes. How much of an effect should this have had on him? Should have maybe become more of a Maimon, respectful more of Jews. So this pasuk teaches us how this Russia responded. The effect it had on him is he makes a tax. Because we saw in Parathes, when he originally made Esther his new queen, he made a tax break on the entire kingdom. Because he didn't know at the time which nationality Esther was. So he made a tax break for the whole kingdom, thinking that whichever nation Esther belonged to, would benefit from the tax break. But now that he knew Esther was Jewish, why do I have to give a tax break for? He figures. That's why he puts the tax back, even though you'll ask, oh, so the Jews, I could want to give the Jews a tax break, but the Jews were scattered throughout the kingdom. They didn't have their own Medina. So that's why Achashverosh just puts the tax back. That's the effect of that. He lost a lot of money. That's all Achashverosh was worried about. Who were Rishoi, Mitzvilos Vatsoifa. And this has a limit for us, Rabbi Sai. Because sometimes we could also see something that should inspire us, that should move us. But it may, Chasa, should not have an effect. We have to make it have an effect. We have to do an act in order to make sure that it has an effect on us. Like Chazal say by Palti Ben Laish, when he realized that Michal was really David's wife, so he placed a sword between them in order to, because he make sure he had to do a maisa then in order to make sure that he was learning would take effect. It's something we need to take into account. V'chomasei sokboi gvurosoi b'farshas kedulas Mordechai shegid loy amelech haloi hen ksuvim al sefer divrei hayomim l'malchim odei foras. This pasuk Batsim was written because Megillas Esther could only be written with Achashverosh's authorization. So this pasuk was for Achashverosh's sake, in order to make it look like this whole Megillah was simply a chapter in the history of the kingship of Achashverosh, and he appointed Mordechai his new second in command. And whatever is not mentioned here, you can see in the royal chronicles of Malchim Odeoporas. It's the Mepharshim also said this is one of the reasons, perhaps the main reason, why the Shem Hashem doesn't appear in Megillah. That since Achashverosh had to ratify the Megillah, as it were, if Hashem's name appeared to it, Achashverosh, for all we know, would have thrown it out. He may have not treated it with the correct Kedushas HaGilyon. So therefore, that's why the Shem Hashem is not mentioned in the Megillah. One final pasuk, and with that, one more very important limud that we come out from the Megillah. Ki Mordechai Ayhudi Mishne L'Melech Achashverosh V'Godol Ayhudim. So Mordechai came out a gibor amongst the Jews. He was the new Mishne L'Melech. He was great and popular amongst the Jews. V'Rotzoi L'Roiv Echov. And he was accepted by most of his brothers. The Gemara asks, Roiv Echov and not Koil Echov? The pasuk indicates that some of the people, some of the members of the Sanhedrin, the Anshei Knesset Gedolah, were pirish to Mordechai. They didn't want to have anything to do with him anymore. Why? Because they were protesting the Bittul Torah that Mordechai did in order to save Klal Yisrael. We learn from here the principle, Gadol Talmud Torah Yoser Matzos Nefashos. Now we know very well Hatzos Nefashos is a very important mitzvah. Let's not make any mistakes here. A person is by the beach and he sees Chas V'Shalom someone drowning. He has to save him. He's not allowed to say, Taina, it's Bittul Torah, Chas V'Shalom. He has to do a mitzvah that's incumbent upon him if there's no one else to do it. But many people assume that even when it's Efshar Lasos Alidei Acherim, even then, that's the most important mitzvah, and that's not correct. That's what the Pasuk and that's what Chazal are telling us here. Talmud Torah is the most important mitzvah, and every Jew has to prioritize Talmud Torah above all else. Ad kedikach, that they're even medayik in the Rambam, when the Rambam is discussing, even when it's Efshar Lasos Alidei Acherim, in which case, Avadi, you have to be Mavatul Torah. But the Rambam says, V'yachzor Limudoi, he goes back to his learning, which is mashma that if you can't go back to learning, you don't even have a hetzer to be mevatel the Torah, even for a mitzvah, she'ev shalas v'decherim. You don't have a hetzer to permanently chas v'shalom be mevatel from Torah. When you're mevatel from Torah, it's only amanos that you eventually come back to Torah. That's the lifeline of the Yid. Dorish toiv l'amoy, the Dorish shalom chazaroi, Mordechai continued to speak well throughout his career. As the Mishnah Melech, he continued to speak well about amongst Jews to seek their welfare and their peace. So in summary, what do we take with us from Megillas Esther, Asoif? Shekol kaivecha lo yivayshu, lo yikom lo netzach kol achoysim boch. A Jew must always have bitachon Hashem Yisparach. He always has to perform the mitzvahs and learn Torah and not forsake them even for a moment. And Hashem will protect him. We say in the Haggadah, Shebechol dar v'dar andem aleinu l'chaloseinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu matzileinu mi'adam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always defends the Jewish people. Therefore, we should not have to forsake Torah mitzvahs ever. And if we do so, if we follow that principle, Hashem will always guard over us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help. We should be zoiche soon to see Mashiach b'koroiv and the building of the Bayis Shlishi. Made of your menu, or main.